This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Rolling back militant Islam, we can seize an historic opportunity. Because for the first time in my lifetime, and for the first time in the life of my country, Arab countries in the region do not see Israel as an enemy, but increasingly as an ally.
I think the Palestinians have to get rid of some of that hate that they're taught from a very young age. They're taught tremendous hate. I've seen what they're taught. And you can talk about flexibility there too, but it starts at a very young age, and it starts in the schoolroom.
All right, we head right to Washington here on America Tonight. Trump meeting with Netanyahu, kind of backed away from the whole Palestinian state deal, said that the United States would no longer insist on a Palestinian state as part of a peace accord between Israel and the Palestinians. So how about that? He said, I'm looking at two-state and one-state formation. So that's where we start. Kate Delaney, hope you're doing well, America. You can always be part of the conversation by jumping on the digits 855-266-5283. Even bigger in Washington is the fact that the Labor Secretary nominee, Andrew Pudzer, is out. Because there was already some problems with Pudzer, rather, because of some allegations surrounding him. Then this Oprah Winfrey tape started to surface from the 90s where his ex-wife was accusing him of being involved in domestic violence. So, you know, the allegations, which and then eventually were withdrawn, but it doesn't matter. And then he had a housekeeper that was illegal, someone that worked for him that was illegal, wasn't illegal. So there was, he was just too red hot, and the Republicans were defecting. So in the 52-48 Senate, three Republican defections would have doomed Pudzer if all 48 Democrats voted to deny him. It certainly was looking that way. And that's it. He's out. The housekeeper, the tape that surfaced, etc., too much to bear. So now it's back to the drawing board. Right from the get-go, let's go to our pal Izzy. Hey, Izzy, how are you?
I'm okay, Kate.
Hello.
Remember Charlie Freeman? I think
yeah.
That was... Yeah. Okay. Those same scandals plagued Obama. And he had even more scandals. So forget Flynn. It happens almost in any presidency.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that on the housekeepers and whatnot. That's happened a couple of times. Yeah.
It was Freeman's association with the communist Chinese. He was in deep with them. But hey, if Mexico does not want to buy our corn, awesome. Because guess who harvests most of the corn in this country?
It's in your backyard. No, I know.
Yeah.
We have plenty. Yeah,
the
we have
illegal.
Plenty of corn. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And at any point in time, we'd be more than happy to send them packing and not be... Because you know who used to harvest our corn? Teenagers. Got out in those fields and housewives that wanted to earn extra money. The illegals came in. Farmers figured they could do the cheap thing. And boom, off they went. So, yeah, go for it, Mexico. I would love it if you quit buying our corn. Maybe our corn will go down in price. I have another comment for Grimm. Mm-hmm. I have dubbed him the official super-duper pooper reporter.
You have.
I had to laugh at his comment on fecal matter, and I'm like, okay, Grimm, new topic, please. Don't you remember that?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, okay, he can be the super-duper pooper reporter.
Nice. Pa-ching, I get it.
No offense there, Grimm.
Yeah, that's funny. I like
and
it.
Anyway, that's all I have. Oh, by the way, Timothy Geithner was another controversial figure.
You know, I was not a fan of Geithner and the whole Goldman Sachs thing. I thought that they should have dumped him immediately. Why he even pulled him in as
because the guy he owed that had the treasure.
Exactly. He was the worst of the worst.
Well, he was also the president of the New York Central Bank. Hello? Conflict of interest? But see, Obama owed him a favor because Mommy Dearest got her job from Peter Geithner.
Mm-hmm.
So all this bashing of Trump, President Trump, you know, that's the first time I've said president in 8 years. But it's nonsense simply because Trump, Obama was far worse with some of his picks. And no one said a thing. Not a word. So I
In the process, you're right, they didn't. You're right.
Nope. And even some rhinos went against the party line, if you want to call it that, and voted for Obama's picks. I mean, just boom. But know this, Obama had less of a cabinet in the first 100 days than what it appears Trump is going to have. I looked up those little facts. So,
yeah, that's true.
Let's get off the the President Trump bashing, because it's stupid, it's wasteful, and the end will be the end no matter how much you're going to complain. But I have a suggestion for a new thought for the program. How about if you did a section on what would you do?
Ah, you know what? They do that on ABC. I like that. What would you do if, boom, boom, boom?
Yeah, like if we had a nuke hit Yellowstone National Park at the caldera.
Yeah.
Because people, don't know what they would do. And it'd be
I like it.
And by the way, I can't remember the feet joke. I want to remember that joke so bad. That was too cute. Anyway, hi to all the guys out there.
I like it, Izzy. I like the rope joke. I remember that. I told that over the weekend.
I got that, by the way. I was laughing, and it didn't seem like anybody. I couldn't feel anybody else so happy.
No, the rope joke was good. And so for people who don't know, Izzy's so glad you called right at the top. She makes some good points. She's right. It seemed like Obama, there wasn't too much controversy around any of the Obama people. Although Izzy knows because she's listened to my show, I was never on board with Geithner. I constantly said, I did a segment on this show where I said, pink slip. I don't care what, pink slip. I'm the president who, because Obama kept his people forever, who would I have dumped? And of course, my people, my two big ones, were immediately, I never would have even picked Timmy Geithner, and I wouldn't have gone with Eric Holder either. And then there were things that happened along the way where I said, oh, he's not going to go with Holder. He's not going to stay with Holder, but they didn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of push there from Obama. And I think with these picks, yes, you could go back in history. Certainly Izzy's right about that, and you could see the objections and things that took people down, whether they were nominees for Supreme Court justice or cabinets or, you know, whatever. This isn't anything new in the vetting process. But when you add up a lot of them, that's where it starts to create that motion and that conversation. All right, hang with us on the flip side. More convo with me, 855-266-5283.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
The investigation on Flynn and Rush is going to happen, he also said, and they're going to look into Flynn's talks with Russian diplomats. So we motor through here with some quick heads, meaning some quick headlines, and then we'll go to the phones, by the way. So 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. And here's what quickly dumped out at me in a big way. First of all, you know, I've been really keeping an eye on that whole dam situation, the race to kind of brace for the storm that's beginning. A foot of rain is possible. Is that ridiculous? You got to be stressed out if you're living in that area. The dam there in Northern California, the biggest, highest dam in the country, they're working right now as I speak to try to bolster wherever they can in that eroded spillway because they know they've got a storm chasing them down. And when that water starts to fall, boy, it could really wreak havoc. They're trying to fortify every area they can. Three storms are going to move into Northern California during the next 6 days, according to the National Weather Service. And a foot of rain would not be good. Normally you'd say, oh yeah, with the drought, it's great, a foot of rain. In this situation, evacuating almost 200,000 people and the spillway, you had 100 some workers just grinding it out, trying to do whatever they could to put any kind of barricades up because they know exactly what could happen at the dam. I mean, they know this is just a bigger disaster waiting to unfold. Let's go out to Grim. Hey, Grim.
Hey, it's good to hear from Izzy all the time there, or occasionally, or whatever. But it's just great to hear her voice. And Dan.
Oh, we have to tell the rope joke. Wasn't it you that told the rope? No, it was Dan, right?
No, it was Dan, and Dan is great with his jokes. That's what I was
saying. Yeah. And he was good. He remember the joke? We'll tell it real quick. A rope walks into the bar, bartender's and says, "Can I have a beer?" And the bartender says, "We don't serve ropes here." So he goes off into a corner, kind of ties himself in a knot with some little cool phrase on top of his head. He walks up to the bar and says, "Hey, could I have a beer?" And the bartender says, "Afraid not." Boom.
Afraid not. Yeah, that's.
Afraid not. I love it.
That sounds like Southerner.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Funny.
Like I keep saying, them there.
Them there. Yeah, I like that.
That's something my dad always used. Where the heck is there?
Yeah, oh, my mom used to say it all the time, too. There? There's no there there. Where's there? Or she, the cat's mother. I never used she anywhere. But she, who's she?
I used a good one tonight. I just barely did get in home from work to get online. But I used a good one tonight, stopping and getting gas. And the guy said, "Is that going to be all?" And I said, "Nah, if you got a money tree around here, I sure would appreciate it." He said, "No, we ain't got none of that. I really need one." I said, "I don't matter. If I got one, he'd probably die."
Oh, that's funny.
But I tell you, Chuck Schumer and him talking about Jeff Sessions getting involved to just be jaundiced, well, I think he's more afraid to be hanging 10 at Leavenworth from a end of a rope. I've been listening to a lot of this, and I'm really upset with Ryan and these Republican rhinos not getting off their butt and doing something. I mean, he didn't initially impeach Obama right after we got rid of the crybaby, and he took over the speaker. And, Kate, it's all coming. You even have analysts come on and repeat the same thing I did 6 months prior.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if these Republicans don't just come out now, Trump did his best to be humble and apologetic and not try to start anything to get things done.
Yeah.
And now they're using tactics that warrant espionage.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that's Leavenworth at the end of a rope. And if Obama's involved, let's go. I tell you, Kate, he was going, like I said, he's going to be worse out of office than he was in. And he should have been impeached because he did some highly impeachable offenses compared to Flynn. I mean, that's just general conversation. Mention that Ivana's jewelry, you know, is fantastic stuff. That's just general conversation with the media. That's what I consider it. It's not promoting, really. It's just, you know, that's her preference. You know, we're getting to know this candidate a little bit. But, you know, I mean, most of them won't bring it up, but she didn't bring it up. She was asked.
Right.
And she responded, she could have said, "Well, humbly, I don't wish to respond to that due to ethics on that." You know, I mean, and that kind of shuts people off, you know. But, you know,
right.
She was just trying to be a little bit respectful because of the way Ivana is being treated, you know. Not promoting so much as just saying they're fine products, you know, it's nice, you know. Oh, gosh. You know, you can't even be cordial anymore.
It is crazy, isn't it? You're right.
Over simple stuff. Obama committed four. I mean, okay, the Constitution says in the oath that they're supposed to support it. They're supposed to, you know, defend it. So if they don't defend it, then that makes them liable for lies, even lies. So Obama, I don't know anybody's got the same doctor when you said you could keep your doctor. You didn't defend the Constitution. Let's go.
True. That doctor thing hit all of us. Remember, I've talked about that a ton. Yeah.
I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, or what.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know me, I'm out for the good fight, not for a one-sided fight. I'm out for the good fight because if we keep going the way we're going, the greatest thing that was ever created that created freedom is going to get destroyed.
Right. I agree.
There's not much more you can say about it. If you want the end of freedom, just keep on doing what y'all are doing. But I got a feeling the Democrats are going to bury themselves if they keep on insisting upon this Russian link with Flint. I understood Trump from the beginning. Yes, he's trying to keep ties open with Russia, but he ain't going to tell you that I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, because then he wouldn't be able to keep ties with Russia.
Right.
Come on, people, wake up.
Where this is all headed, it's like a boom. You know, it's you just know it. You just feel it. It's crazy.
Yeah. It is. You know, I mean, and you know, I said before, too, it's going to be hard as heck to get rid of all the cronies that Obama's entrenched inside the Pentagon and the NSA and, you know, the IRS, every facet of the government.
Right.
And those that are supportive of them that only see one side.
Right.
Well, they're going to just dig their own graves. They're all 1 foot in the grave, Kate.
I like that. I was thinking about that for a second when you said that they're all gonna end up in the grave. Yeah, exactly. You know, it is every day follow the bouncing ball. I have not seen anything like this, and it really, I keep saying it just is moving at the speed of light, and it truly is grim, and it's what's really crazy is not being. No matter what, I mean, come on, we live in America. Freedom of speech is the greatest thing ever. Not being able to express yourself is not good. And people are being smothered when it comes to that. Now we're like in the land of over-political correctness. And, you know, I don't, that part I don't understand, because if anything, it's eroding the freedom of speech, and we certainly don't want to see that, right? All right, stay with us. I'm jumping the fence. I promise you won't get caught. Jump with me. Meet you on the other side.
We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the long list? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. CalBend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Listens to the show knows that I'm completely fascinated with this whole idea of going to Mars. And boy, I sure hope that I'm alive to witness the amazing things that can happen. And somebody who shares that passion with me is Chris Carberry. He's the CEO of Explore Mars. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Great, great. Thanks for having me on again.
You know, Mars is getting a lot of exposure because of the show about Mars that I think is so fascinating that's on Nat Geo. I know that you've seen that.
Yeah, it's a great show, you know, and I think it really has highlighted a lot of the more realistic aspects of sending humans to Mars. You know, Nat Geo did that, but there are also a whole bunch of other projects that have come out of Hollywood lately as well. As you know, The Martian last year, it's another film, The Space Between Us, about the first baby born on Mars. Seems to be a lot of interesting elements developing in the entertainment industry, but all across society, you know, lots of excitement building about the prospects of sending humans to Mars.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this before, but it's a good thing to get out of the way right here in the beginning. There's some doubting Thomases who are listening right now who are saying, why do we need to go to Mars? How much money is that going to cost? And what is that going to do for us here on Earth? To which you would say what?
Well, interestingly, one of the reasons I want to send humans to Mars is because of the benefits here on Earth. You know, it's going to be one of the great events in human history, which will also have a tremendous impact here on Earth. First off, you know, one of the things I like the best, but it's hard to put your finger on, but the national morale and the worldwide morale, it'll really inspire people, and that'll really help inspire the country and move the economy forward. When people feel good about the future, things affect the economy. But the innovations that will come out of it, the inspiration for STEM education, getting people into these fields that really generate our economy, will be motivated by it. And there's a lot of misperception about how much it costs. I'm not saying it's cheap, but by budgetary terms, it is not that expensive. There's a lot of misinformation out there. Some people who oppose it have been saying it's going to cost $1 trillion or more, which is preposterous. You know, NASA's entire budget combined from 1958 until present doesn't even come close to $1 trillion. So we're certainly not going to spend that on Mars. It's actually not going to cost much more than what we're already spending on NASA. So why not spend those funds that we're already spending on something big and bold, where we'll be able to find out some of the mysteries, you know, of the universe in the near term and find out if humans can live on other planets?
Yeah, well said. And there's no way to know that other than to go and explore it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we ever want to find these things out, we actually have to do it. And I frankly think it's fiscally responsible to actually engage in missions like this because, as I said earlier, we are spending money on NASA. NASA does some great things, but I think we can spend that money more efficiently and in a much more bold manner and do historic things. And I think it's a much more responsible way to spend taxpayer dollars and some commercial dollars as well to actually achieve something great than to continually change our minds and never get anything accomplished, at least, you know, in human spaceflight over the long run.
Yeah. You've got a summit coming up. The 2017 Humans to Mars Summit is May 9th through the 11th. What comes out of this summit? What are some of the speakers and cool things you have going on?
Well, Humans to Mars Summit, and this will be the fifth one, and it's turned into the largest conference on Earth focused on sending humans to Mars. And this year is particularly well-timed. You know, it's a few months into this new administration as all these policies are coming together, so we're hoping we'll be able to make a huge impact, you know, to really push the country and the world forward to continue and accelerate this goal of getting humans to Mars by the early 2030s. And so we're going to be having panels talking about, you know, the impact on small businesses around the country. People will be surprised how many small businesses all around the country actually work on space projects. We'll be talking about, once again, as we talked about a few minutes ago, the impact in the entertainment industry, you know, how this is really impacting society, as well as policy, and bringing all these different players together to show this isn't just a small group of companies. This is actually a full societal effort. It's going to impact everybody. So we have people like Buzz Aldrin and high-ranking people in the entertainment industry. We also have one of the actresses who was in the Nat Geo Mars series coming to speak as well. And we're trying to bring as wide a range of people as possible to show the diversity, people and organizations that support and promote this goal.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the Mars One mission, and you've heard about that, you know, the one-way trip to the red planet, and, of course, to land the first Mars colonists on the planet by, what is it, 2023. What's really cool, and somebody was telling me this the other day, that Mars One has gotten, like, 180,000 applications. And it made me wonder, you said Buzz Aldrin. I know that, of course, he's all about space exploration. But do you think there'll be people mostly who have a science background, astronaut type person, somebody who may be botanist, somebody who, just like the movie The Martian, has something to offer of what you could find out about the red planet?
Yeah, I think the initial missions will be those experts. It's going to take some highly skilled specialists going there to figure out if we can actually live. You know, it's not, you know, the Mars One model, you know, while it's kind of cool to think about and it's great that many people applied, that's not particularly feasible. It's not a particularly feasible plan initially. I think eventually we'll send one-way missions to Mars. But I think those first missions, you know, you're going to need some highly trained people who can figure out if we can live, start building up the apparatus to allow a growing number of people to survive on the Martian surface. So But eventually, yeah, we'd love to create sustainability on the surface, and eventually, hopefully, that'll lead to, you know, larger settlements, you know, whereas maybe one day people will go one way and people will actually live on Mars and be born on Mars. But first things first, we have to figure out if we can survive on Mars before we start colonizing the planet.
Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? All right, Chris Carberry, thanks so much for stopping by. Always welcome here. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
All right, to explain that a little bit further, what I was asking Chris about, it is interesting because any conversation about Mars, I think, is good to keep that conversation out there, right? But this Mars One deal is volunteering for a one-way trip, as I said, to colonize in 2023. They had a big panel discussion about it at the Million Martian meeting in D.C. a couple of years ago, and it was interesting. It's this Dutch nonprofit Mars One trying to land four colonists on the red planet. That was the idea. And what would it take to do that? And Chris is right. Of course, first things first, you got to get the right people up there. But it's just kind of interesting. And like I said, it keeps the conversation out there. And even on Facebook, I checked, there's an Aspiring Martians group, and there's, gosh, over 2,000 members, I want to say. Don't quote me on the exact number, but it's a lot of people. So all those applicants, it was so interesting to see that there's this optimism about actually, you know, doing it. Can you imagine what it would be like? It's like you think of the giant leap, you know, into history. And imagine, like Neil Armstrong said, imagine the legacy of the first people that would set foot on Mars, who would probably be those people who are, like Chris Carberry says, honestly, the scientists, etc., the NASA people. But it'd be wild just to be the everyday person who had a chance to go to Mars. And you can think of, you know, if you've seen that Nat Geo program, I think they do a fine job of explaining more about Mars. And, of course, the dangers of what you could face on the red planet, who knows? We don't know. And it is. Can it be colonized? I mean, gosh, it's wild to expand your mind and think, oh, someone born on Mars? And I wondered in this audience, I mean, I'm really serious about this. Just for a second, think about it. Because remember, we could have had more people in space. Space shuttle travel, if you think of Christy McAuliffe and the fact that, sadly, when the Challenger blew up, those, I think, a lot of the aspirations of let's get somebody else, you know, a teacher or somebody else to go and go on the shuttles with us. If that hadn't turned out that way, who knows where we would be with the everyday person getting a chance to go on some of these missions. But it does make you think, would you do it? Would you take that shot if you had a shot at going into space? And let's say particularly, and this would be for really younger people listening, probably your children, your grandchildren, can you imagine if they called you up and said, I've got a ticket to go to Mars. I was chosen out of the gazillion people that wanted to go, and I'm going to be there. So it's hard to travel there. What is the temperature like on Mars? What would that exploration be like? And would it be worth the risk for the everyday person? I get the astronaut. I get the types that are schooled in it, but the everyday person, would you take that leap? Because what are the chances of surviving? And the answer to that is we really don't know. So you get once it's launched and then you go on the journey, we don't know what's going to happen after that. We have no way to know. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Have you ever wondered as you gazed up at the sky, watching stars like diamonds shining there on high, that somehow in that great unknown you may find you are not alone? Around that little world of yours, spinning off in space.
Attention, small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Nail the Score all year long, talking a lot about football. Steve Shenkin joins us. He's the author of a new book called Undefeated, Jim Thorpe and the Carlisle Indian School Football Team. Steve, thanks so much for popping on the show.
Thank you, Kate. I'm really happy to be here.
So I wrote a book called Invade the Man Cave, and I talked a lot about football. And, of course, I do football here on America Tonight and also NBC Sports. I know it's America's game, but I think what people don't know, and you wrote a lot about this, is what football was really like back in the day. So if we go back to the 1900s and talk about athletes and dying while playing football and that kind of thing, what would people be shocked to learn?
A lot of it. I am a lifetime football fan, but I was shocked. I mean, the game was like all-out brawling, kind of like loosely organized combat. And there was in the early days, you talk about the late 18, early 1900s, no passing allowed. So it was just the biggest, burliest dudes with one running play after another. Basically, two groups of 11 guys would just group together and then smash into each other over and over and over again. And fans couldn't really even see the ball because they would wind up in these giant pileups where people would punch each other, pull each other's hair. And it isn't a joke because you said it. I mean, kids were dying, and it reached kind of this really crisis point. 1905, 19 players died playing football.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, as dangerous as it is today, and rightfully we're arguing and debating about it, but back then it was really on the tipping point of being banned entirely.
Yeah, and, you know, people don't realize this now when we talk about equipment. Equipment was so different. Of course it was different then, but the helmets compared to what they wore then and what they wore now. And plus, is it true you didn't really have to wear a helmet?
Not at all, no. One of the main characters in this book is Pop Warner, who's famous today mainly, I guess his name is known with youth football leagues, but he was a great coach, very innovative, and the coach of the Carlisle Indian School football team, which is what this book is about. But he played his college days at Cornell, and he called his helmet was no helmet at all. He called it football hair. There's a great picture of him with this big, puffy, curly hair. And he said, that's my helmet. This is what guys did to protect their head, which is, it sounds crazy.
Wow, no kidding. So what? How did Jim Thorpe and Pop Warner, how did they know each other? How did that relationship all happen?
Yeah, that's what's really electric about this story, is that these two incredibly different dynamic people come together. Jim was a Native American kid from Oklahoma who hated school, and eventually his dad sent him all the way to Pennsylvania to this boarding school called Carlisle in Pennsylvania. And they had gotten together a football team and were just starting to make a little noise, get a little bit good, when Pop Warner showed up and started coaching them. But what really happened was when it all came together, when Pop got the team going, they were starting to be a little creative, which nobody else was doing then. And then the greatest athlete in the world, though in the form of a skinny teenager who no one knows is the greatest athlete, shows up there. And then that's that marriage. When they get together, then magical things start happening.
When you say magical things start happening, people really get involved in the game. People really start paying attention, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say they saved the game. It's just the timing is one of those things you couldn't make up. But Jim started playing in 1907, which was just when they changed the rules. The only reason they allowed passing was to try and save the game. And at the time, President Teddy Roosevelt got involved. He loved football. It didn't bother him at all that people were getting hurt playing, because he thought, oh, that's manly, that's good. But he did see that people were going to ban the game, so he pushed colleges to reform, and they did, and they allowed passing, and they created an end zone and all these things that we know today. But that was just as Jim showed up, and so rules on a piece of paper are one thing, but this is the team that invented modern football.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. In reading your book, certainly you lay that out in the characters. There's no question about it. Do you think that Jim Thorpe is one of the greatest football players of all time, if you go back in his time?
I think he has to be. I like those arguments, too, although I know it's impossible to compare one era to another. But he, up to his, I mean, he was like something no one had ever seen. And it happened right from his first tryout. He walked on the field. And he had a combination of speed, agility, and power that you just never see in one person. When I was a kid, it was Bo Jackson. Remember Bo Jackson, who could
just
do everything?
Me too, Bo knows.
And he would play baseball and climb up a wall in baseball, and then he would play football. And he was both stronger and faster than everybody. That was Jim in his time.
Boy, no kidding. He was just an all-around great athlete. I mean, pretty much anything. I bet even if you were to transport him to today, I think he would somehow assimilate into whatever the sport was. He was just an all-around good athlete, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He could do anything. And he even went to the Olympics in 1912, which is when he was essentially would it be kind of like between junior and senior year in college equivalent, and competed in track and field. And he won 2 gold medals. And the pinnacle of the Olympics in those days was decathlon, you know, where you do 10 different events.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is he had never even done some of them. He was fast and he was good at track, but he had never thrown a javelin or a shot put. He just kind of showed up and saw how people were doing it. And nobody took him seriously. It's just like the team. Nobody thought he could compete, and he just went in there and just dominated and won gold medals. And that was when the whole world realized, okay, this is hands down the best athlete in the world.
Yeah, and on Pop Warner's side of it, just did Pop Warner have the foresight to know that this sport was something and that it would grow and get bigger? And did he just know that?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, he loved football. He's an interesting character in his own right. His dad wanted him to be a lawyer, and so he went to Cornell and trained as a lawyer, but he hated it. He thought it was so boring. And so he kind of drifted back to coaching football. And I just think, I'm not sure if he thought it was going to be a big deal. He just, it called to him. You know, he had played, he wasn't great, but he saw, wait a minute, what if we don't do the same old boring thing over and over again? What if I pretend to go this way and then go the other way? There's that light bulb moment that seems so obvious, but the idea of running reverses was, just no one had done it before. And so he brought a creativity and artistry almost to it that was definitely brand new.
Yeah, and you know, you talking about the Olympics, and in your book, you have actually a picture of, you have lots of pictures in the book, which is great, because it comes alive for you in reading the book, Undefeated. You've got what was in the paper, and one of them says, Jim Thorpe, professional, pleads guilty to charge. So what happened was, he had to be, once he was called a professional, he had to return prizes and money essentially, right?
Yeah, this was the hugest scandal of the time in sports. You know, way bigger than Tom Brady deflating footballs or anything like that. I mean, it was the equivalent of that, but it was much bigger, really, and much sadder. He had won these medals fair and square, but Jim, like so many athletes and college-age kids, had played summer baseball in a semi-pro league. He made, you know, $20 a month or something, but it was a summer job, essentially. And so many kids from Ivy League schools did this and then went to play Olympics or compete in so-called amateur track and field. And it was no problem. But when Jim got, quote-unquote, caught doing it, because he had never hidden from doing it, he used his own name. You could look at the box scores from this North Carolina league he played in. And it was a very small time. But he got caught doing it. And, yeah, it became a huge scandal. Look at the papers from those days. It dominates the news. And he was forced to return. They basically stripped him of his gold medals.
Wow. I mean, crazy to think of. I mean, now they kind of straightened up those lines of what is professional money, et cetera, because it started, you know, back in those days, you know, he wasn't making a lot of money. It wasn't a lot of money whatsoever. It was money to survive, basically. And we know football players had crazy off-season jobs. I mean, they worked when they were playing.
Yeah, that's the other tough thing about Jim. In addition to this, which was really, I mean, you have to, you know, the race was clearly a factor in this controversy. But beyond that, he could have, today at least, even without medals, made a fortune playing football. But there was no NFL back then. There was no professional football yet. And so he went to play professional baseball, which he was good at, but it wasn't his thing. You know, it wasn't his gift. But he was good enough to play on the Giants and a bunch of teams for a few years. But you're right, he never made a fortune doing that. And then when pro football started, he got into that. And he's already 30 at this point, which, you know, for a running back, that's a grandpa. That's old. So he still had a little bit of the magic, but it was not the same anymore. But he played into his late 30s. But as you say, never made a good living doing that.
Yeah. Wow. Pick it up. You can pick it up at Amazon, I'm sure. Steve Shenkin, the book is called Undefeated, Jim Thorpe and the Carlisle Indian School Football Team. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate. It's been really fun.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.